Okay, there are different types of compounds. Now, this is a type of compound. It belongs to a class called Tapurisa. And what's the special feature of this type of compound is that it consists of one noun or a pronoun in an implicit indirect case. I'll explain what these terms mean. But first, I give the information. Plus another noun, which is the main subject. Okay, what I mean by saying that the first noun of the compound is in an implicit indirect case, that means that the noun here is functioning as either a genitive, dative, ablative, locative, but it just appears in the stem form. It's not declined. So the noun which is actually declined is the second member of the compound. So let me take some examples. Okay, we take the one here, comma kilesa. Okay, kilesa means defilement. Comma means action. So here it's literally action, defilement. But action, but the word comma is an indirect case, and we can understand it to mean kamanan, or it could be kamasa. Either one would work. Kilesa. But let us take, okay, the famous monastery where the Buddha stayed, called Jetavana. Jeta was the name of a prince. Prince Jeta. Vana means grove. Okay, so this is also, it's a Tapurisa compound. Here it's Jetasa Vana, the grove of Jeta, of Prince Jeta. I mean, there are thousands of compounds like that.
What does Tapurisa mean?
Tapurisa means, it's tat, or actually it would be tad plus purisa. Purisa means man, in a sense, but here I think it's in the sense of a man who is a servant. Of tad stands for him, so it's the servant of him. It would be, tad would be then tasa purisa.
Is that the actual name of the type of compound?
It's the name of the type of compound, but it's the compound is named by giving an example of its use. Okay, let us take another one. Mano vinyana. Well, we'll take sota vinyana, which means we render it ear consciousness. Okay, it's a compound. Sota is ear, vijnana, consciousness. So this could be understood. Sometimes one could interpret it in different ways. It might be sotena, vijnana, through the ear, that's instrumental, by the ear, consciousness through the ear. Or it could also be taken sotasa. So tasa vijnana, consciousness of the ear.
Then that means the ear has all consciousness.
But the ear doesn't really have consciousness. The ear is the instrument of consciousness. So I think taking it as instrumental is better. Sotena vijnana. I would take it in sotena is instrumental, but I would understand sota here as representing sotena.
What would it do?
This form, sota, this is what is called the stem form. This is not, it's not decline. Yeah, it's just the natural form of.
I have to get some examples from other cases.
Anyway, I'll point them out as we come along, as we come to them. Okay, so going back, okay, the four defilements of action.
Four defilements of action.
Yeah.
Now we have kanyana.
Yeah.
I believe it's starting at the edges of abandon.
Yeah.
The four abandoned defilements of action.
Well, the four, okay, when for the noble disciple. Now, you see, pahina honti. Pahina is originally its past participle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't it serve as an adjective here? To describe the defilements of action?
I would say it's still functioning as a past participle.
Oh.
Yeah. The four defilements of corrupt, or four defilements of action.
When abandoned.
Yeah, are abandoned.
Are,
yeah, when they are abandoned.
For
yeah.
The noble disciple.
For a noble disciple.
For a noble disciple.
Yeah.
And then we have Chaturhi, Panehi, the four, five, four principles, very instrumental. And then Tapakama, which is bad action.
Yeah.
Not Karoji, so does not go to.
Go to.
Well, does not do.
Right, yeah.
Does not do bad action.
Yeah. And
four,
yeah.
I guess it would be who does not do
that? Yeah.
Who is the subject?
It's still the same. No, wait.
The noble disciple is
the wait. Okay, wait. You're right. Okay. When for the noble disciple four. I think you have to take it this way. When for the noble disciple four corruption, four defilements of action have been abandoned, and he does not do. Evil action, chaturhi.
He does not do it. He defied.
Yeah, it has to be. It shifts so that now in this clause, the Arya Savaka becomes the subject. He does not do evil action through four in four cases of four types, maybe. Chatuhi tanehi. Tana has many meanings, and exactly what meaning would be relevant here when we'd have to see how the passage continues. But let's say through, on four grounds, let us say, on four grounds he does not do evil action.
Okay, on four grounds he does not do evil action.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cha would be six. The second cha would be end.
Yeah.
Bodhana would be enjoyment, possession.
Yeah.
And genitive dative, so I say genitive.
Yeah.
For the enjoyment of possession.
Yeah.
And then would be apayamukhani.
Yeah.
Leading to destruction.
Yeah, read the whole passage, read the whole phrase or clause, yeah.
Yeah.
Nasevati. Yeah. So, and then in translating, start with the verb.
Right.
Or start with the pronoun. He.
He does not.
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah.
The six enjoyments.
No. No. Here. Okay. This is important. The ch goes with, has to go with mukhani,
Because cha, cha is a no, seems to be a nominative. Okay, so he does not resort to the six apayamukhani. I said it's a difficult passage, and then without the continuation of it, it's difficult to make sense of it. But I understand that, okay, the six, because I know the passage from its full context. Apaya means loss, like decline or loss. Mukha is literally mouth or opening. So these are six channels through which the loss, apaya, of wealth or possessions takes place, bhoganam. Okay, there are six openings or channels. These are mukhani, through which the loss, apaya, of wealth, bhoganam, takes place. So he does not resort to the six, the six channels for the loss of wealth. But bhoganam is plural because in those days wealth was considered possessions. So for the loss of possessions.
So apaya goes with
bhoganam? Apaya mukhani goes with bhoganam. Channels of loss.
Channel of loss.
Of wealth.
Of wealth.
Yeah.
Okay. So he does not, then you're translating Sevati as mortu?
Yeah. And I think the sutta as it continues, it explains these, like gambling, drinking, I'm sorry, women. It's explaining for a man. there are three others. Three things that well-established gentlemen squander their wealth upon.
Okay, but he does not resort to the six channels of loss or wealth.
Yeah. What do you understand the meaning of this in context?
No.
Okay, then I said it's a difficult passage. Okay, he, you see, now it's completing the yato. Yato at the beginning of the passage opens up, that's the relative. When a noble disciple, when for a noble disciple four corruptions of karma have been abandoned, or four corruptions of action have been abandoned, and so on and so on. He thus, upagato means gone away. Papaka is evil. And Chudasa is 14. He has thus gone away, I would say, from 14 types of evil. The 14 types?
It says 14, but it doesn't say 14 what?
Yeah, but the way you get the 14, four defilements of action, and he doesn't do an evil deed in four cases, that's 8. 4 plus 4 is 8. And he doesn't squander his wealth through these six channels of loss. So 8 plus 6 is 14. If you didn't, yeah, it's not a good selection. Because one can't figure out what's happening unless you see the whole passage. Yeah, they should have also given the full references. It's from the Sigalovada Sutta.
Okay, so does he has gone away?
Yeah.
From 14 that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we go on.
Yeah.
And that would be six directions.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about Padi Chachi.
Yeah.
I think it means covering.
Yeah.
Enveloping.
Yeah, covering.
What does it mean?
Yeah. That's the literal sense, but it is first the form of the word. It's a noun of the type. Excuse me.
I-N ending.
It's a, yeah, of the I with the I-N ending.
Yeah.
It comes from a verb patichadeti, which means to cover. So it means he is one who covers. One who covers the six directions. It's a strange idiom, I have to say. But if you remember the way the passage began, this young man was worshiping the six directions, literally worshiping them, because that's what his father had told him to do. And then the Buddha was told him that this is not the way to worship the six directions and the noble one's discipline. And now the Buddha has explained to him how to worship the six directions and the noble one's discipline. So it seems to mean that he covers, that he fulfills the worship of the six directions. It's a little obscure to me, too. So we'll just have to pass over that. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It means Ubanavisupo.
Yeah.
Both
yeah. Victory. Yeah.
And then Patipano, past particle in the present sense.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he is practicing for both.
Yeah, the sense is, I think upaya, I would correct the, what is it called, the orthography, the way the words are represented here. I would join upaya and loka without a space between them. So he is practicing for victory in both worlds. Ubaya loka. And again, if one doesn't know the text fairly well, one maybe has trouble figuring out what is meant by both worlds, but it means this present world and the world beyond, the afterlife. In other words, he's going to receive, well, the next phrase actually will fill out the meaning of that.
Well, if that's the case,
yeah.
Then if you combine Ubaya Loka.
Yeah.
Do we change it to Ubaya Lokaya? Practicing for the victory for both worlds? For the victory for both worlds?
No, I would put Ubaya. Ubaya is an indeclinable.
Right.
It means both. And world, you join it with world, ubaya loka, so it means together both worlds. So he is practicing for victory in both worlds. Well, this is a compound. So you could say, if you were to break up the compound, you would say, Ubaya Lokesu Vijayaya. And this is another example of a Tapurisa compound, Loka Vijaya, victory in the world, you could say.
Victory in the
world.
Yeah. So he's practicing for victory in both worlds.
Yeah.
Hasa Ayam Keva, Loko Arado Hoti.
Yeah. Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheva, I would think that goes to the cha. Cha cheva would be both ends.
Yeah. It's the first cha goes with ayang loko, then it's completed by the cha just below, paro cha loko. No, it's always Cheva.
Oh, Cheva.
The first Cha gets the Ava. It's
right.
Both, it's this and that.
Okay. So for him,
yeah.
This is, holy is, both, Arado would be well undertaken.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but this world, for him, this world is well undertaken, and also the other world, or the world beyond. But that's... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, loco is nominative, and arado goes with it. So it's nominative. But now the sense is, we would say, he is successful both in this world and in the next world. But in Pali, one says, this world is well undertaken. The life in this world is well undertaken, as well as life in the next world.
Yeah.
Sugating. Upapajati. Yeah.
The breaking up of the body,
yeah.
After death.
Yeah.
Sugating Sugam would be, is this heaven? I know Sugam is heaven.
Wait, Sugat, there's no Sugang, there's Sugating.
Sugating.
Yeah. Right.
He is reborn,
yeah.
In the world.
Yeah. Okay.
Heaven for the righteousness?
No. Okay. There are two expressions here. Sugating. Sugating means, okay, this is accusative of sugati. And sugati means good destination.
Su has a sense of good. Gati can mean active going or place of going. Here is the place of going, so it's a good destination.
And technically it means either a heavenly world or else a good state in the human realm. Yeah, sagang lokang, those two words go together, that means heavenly world. Yeah. Yeah, I would put a comma. I would say he is reborn in a good destination then comma, in the heavenly world.
Not yet.
No. Well, it's accusative. In English, we say one is reborn in such a world. In Pali, it's just natural to say one is reborn using the accusative. The destination of rebirth is the accusative, not the locative. Okay, so I'll just go through the whole paragraph quickly, putting everything together. Okay, the Blessed One said this. When, O householder, for a noble disciple, four defilements of action are abandoned, and he does not do an evil deed on four grounds or in four ways, and he does not engage in the six channels for the loss of wealth or possessions, he is thus gone away from evil, or he has thus gone away from 14 types of evil. He is one who covers the six directions. He is one who is practicing for victory in both worlds. For him, this world is successful. Or you could say, for him, life in this world is successful. And also, the other world, in brackets, is successful. With the breakup of the body after death, he is reborn in a good destination in the heavenly world. Okay, paragraph. Any questions about this remaining?
Yeah, there's one thing. Oh. The spelling, it has a dot underneath the N.
Yeah.
In the book.
Yeah.
And when I looked it up, I looked at it. Is that a misspelling or is
it? It's possible it could have two spellings, either with the dot or without it. You looked it up where? I see in the glossary it has it without the dot.
Yeah, and also online.
I think but either spelling is acceptable.
Okay.
Okay, paragraph 2. Maybe. Wenjun, you like to pick this? Yeah. Eitadahosi. Right. Yeah. Or then, here, then, yeah. It's a sequence, a narrative sequence. Continue. Yeah. Yeah. Blessed One. Yeah. Okay, so this occurred, this thought occurred. Yeah, Eitadahosi means literally this occurred, but it's used, that expression is used, like in English we say this occurred to me. It means a thought or an idea occurred to him. Okay, continue. Yanunaham. Yeah, they're long. The U and the second A are long. Yeah, and there's a double N. Yan-nu-na-hung. Yeah. Right. Yeah, Yan-nu-na-hung, it's... Or Yanuna is used when somebody is considering something, like, should I, let me do this, let me do that. Suppose now I were to do this. Right. Yeah. Right. A tukka vachara. Right. Okay, very good. Okay, translate. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right, difficult to see. Or difficult to understand. I think it's better to put it difficult to understand.
Tranquil.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Beyond
logic. Yeah. Yeah, this attaka vachara. This is another example of the bahubihi compound. The two-car garage compound. Okay, here. Tukka means logic or reasoning. Then avachara means range or domain. Then the is negation. So, and then all of this is qualifying Dhamma. So, not the domain of reasoning or logic. And then, since it's qualifying Dhamma, it is declined in the same way as Dhamma. It's here, it's a nominative singular. Okay, continue. Subtle, nipuno, subtle. Right. Right, very good. Yeah, this Pandita Vedaniyo, this is also a two-car garage compound. And it's qualifying Dhamma. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. To be known, understood, experienced. Yeah. By the wise, yeah. Tabo vinyu he. It's almost exactly the same, yeah, the same actual meaning, but it's a different words. There's the verse of homage to the Dhamma. It has swakato bhagavata dhammo. Then the last phrase is pachatang vedi tabo vinyu he. Pachatang means within oneself, for oneself, pachatang, vedi tabo. It's really, it functions the same, it's from the same root. It's just an alternative form, vedaniyo, vedi tabo, alternative forms of the same word. Then vinyu hi means wise people, the same as pandita. Okay, maybe Hui Zheng, you want to take over from here? With Alaya Rama. Did I point out that there was a typographical or even it's a wrong choice? Yeah, there should be two M's. Alaya Sam Mudita. You have to make that should be a double M. Alaya Sam Mudita. And then it's it occurs twice. Yeah. It occurs again in the next line. Okay. Translate. Yeah. Yeah, this is a little tricky. I have to help with this. because there's no verb in this sentence. So the verb is just implicit, implied. And then these compounds are somewhat difficult. Okay, alaya, like the opposite of our friend, analayo. Alaya is like attachment, objects of attachment, or enjoyment, you could say. But, well, okay, so, okay, then this alaya, in fact, there's another typographical mistake. It should be alai. After the Y, there should be a long A. Again, it comes twice. It's alaya plus arama. It's after Y, that A after the Y should be a long A. Right, three long A's. Counting the first one, four. Okay, this is Arama. Okay, so Arama. Yeah, one meaning is monastery. But it doesn't mean that this generation hangs out in monasteries. But Arama is enjoyment or rejoicing. Let's say delighting. So this, okay, but then the subject of the sentence, this is why it's very, the syntax is difficult, is ayang paja. You have to break up pana plus ayang. And ayang paja means this population, in other words, humankind, or the human world. Pan plus ayang. And kopana, so it's kopana. So now kopana is a, it shows continuity. It has the function of but. Or, like, however. This population delights in attachment. You see, the first word is like, it functions like an adjective qualifying paja, population, or human, let's say humankind. Okay, so this humankind delights in attachment. And alaya rama is what kind of compound? No. It's not a tapurisa. You see, okay, it's not a tapurisa because it's functioning as an adjective qualifying another noun. Yeah. It's Bahubihi, the two-car garage compound. No, the compound, the Pali expression is much rice compound. With a field with much rice is called Bahubihi Ketan. But people know they don't have rice fields, but they have garages. So two-car garage, it doesn't mean that one has two cars, but it's a garage which can hold two cars. So two cars, suppose we have the S, two cars garage. Two cars functions as an adjective describing the garage. Okay, so this this humankind, however, this humankind delights in attachment. Then the next descriptive phrase, alaya ratta. I would translate it almost the same way, but now make it with ratta is a past participle. So I would say, is delighted in attachment. And then alaya samudita. Samudita comes from the root mood, which means to take joy.
Yeah, the verb modati. Then the sum just intensifies it. And okay, mudita is past participle.
But it takes on the sense, samudita together, of taking joy, or you would say rejoicing in. Modati is a verb, to take joy, to find joy. Now I use, I think, altruistic joy, just the less. But here it's not mudita, it's the same, basically the same word, but it's not being used in a special sense. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It comes out awkwardly in English. It would sound almost incomprehensible. One has to take a little liberty. Alaya samudita. Okay, rejoice. Yeah, I would say rejoices, and it takes on, it functions in with a more active meaning. Okay, you want to continue? Yeah. Pajaya. Yeah. Right. Yadidam. Yeah. Wait, ida pachayata, finish. No. Samupado. Right. Yeah, just take that sentence. Right. No. Translate it as a dative, not an instrumental. Four would work better. No. Find now the subject of this long dative clause. What is the subject being described by the adjective? No. No, what I mean is not the subject of the sentence, but this is a string here. This whole clause forms a string in which there's one noun being described by a series of adjectival compounds. Okay, I see. I have to help. Okay. So it's pajaya. Okay, so that means, pajaya means what? Yeah, in fact, humankind. It's as a dative, yeah. So for this population, or for a population, or for humankind, which rejoices in attachment, which is delighted by attachment. I'm sorry, no. For humankind, which delights in attachment, that's alaya ramaya, which is delighted by attachment, alaya rataya, which rejoices in attachment, alaya sammuditaya. Okay, for such a generation, or for such a population, tu dasang idang tanang. Tu dasang means difficult to see. And tanang here, you could say state, case. I think state works best. State. Or actually state maybe doesn't. Sometimes it does. Well, I wouldn't say conclusion. It's a very open word. It's not the state of enlightenment now, but he's talking about ida pachayata paticca samuppado. You could even say this principle, maybe. Yeah. Well, okay, they give fact. That's broad enough. Fact or principle. Okay, so this principle is difficult to see. Yadidang. Yadidang means like namely, or that is to say. And ida pachayata. I see having its foundation in this. Not such causally. Actually, those are bad renderings. I think I didn't give alternative renderings to this. These pages. I did say that, did I? Yeah. Okay. Because I don't have them written into my book. So ita pachayata, you would say, means conditionality. The word pachaya means condition. Ha turns it into an abstract noun, conditionality. And it has, originally it has idam, which gives it the sense, like I render it, specific conditionality. Idang simply means this. So it's the specific law by which one thing, or it's the law by which one thing functions as a specific condition for something else. Then the ung, the final ung of idang, gets assimilated to the following p. So it becomes turned into a p. Idap. Pachayata.
Can you explain again why you say specific conditionality versus specific?
Because of that word idang. If you just take pachayata by itself, it would mean conditionality. But idang means, implies that this law is saying that one thing functions as a specific condition for something else.
What does it mean here? Specific.
Well, usually in the formula it says like birth is the condition for old age and death, bhava is the existence is the condition for birth. So each one of these terms is the specific main condition for the following term. So that seems to be the sense of idang. This is the condition for that.
Okay. Okay. And then the more general term
Paticca Samuppada. Yeah, yeah. That is dependent, usually translated dependent origination. Okay, you want to continue, Wei Chung? These passages, it's quite difficult, so I'm taking all the translation away from you. Yeah. Sabba Sankara Samato. Right. Kayo, Tanha Kayo. Yeah. Wait, look at the first word there. Yeah. There's a P there. What is that P?
Again?
Not quite again. What is the P? Right. Or two. Not conclusion is not good. Okay, let's say this principle or fact too is difficult to see. Yadidang. Okay, continue. Yeah. Oh, I see. I'm sure that I gave alternatives to these renderings. Okay, let me give my rendering of this. Okay, Sabba Sankara Samato. Samato here is the calming down or stilling. Sabba Sankara could be taken. Sometimes it means conditioned things in general. Sometimes it means volitional activities of the mind. So one could interpret this phrase in two ways. Say the calming down of all mental activities, or else the calming down or stilling of all conditioned phenomena. Yeah. I take upadhi here to be acquisitions is better, yeah. Okay, the relinquishing of all acquisitions. Or you could say all objects of attachment. Tanha kayo, craving of what? No. Wenjun? Tanakayo? Yeah, destruction of craving. That's a tapurisa compound. Actually, all of these three are tapurisa compounds. Sabba Sankara Samato. Sabu Padi Patini Sago Tanha Kayo. Okay, continue. Virago. Yeah. Nirvana. Okay, last sentence. Ahancheva. Okay. Yeah. They say, yeah. Ajaneyam. Ajaneyung, yeah. Mamasa, yeah. Vihesa, should be able to translate like this. You don't know. You didn't do the homework? You don't know Ahan Shaiva. What is Ahan Shaiva? Yeah, it's Ahang, which means I, plus Shaiva, and with just the emphasis. Well, Ava, for Ava, it joins with Parecha. Okay. Or actually, wait. I would actually take this. Ahang followed by Che plus Ava. Possibly. Then it would give the sense, a better sense. If I were to teach the Dhamma, Ahang is I, then Cheva, normally Cheva is broken down into Ch plus Ava, which means and with a little emphasis. But there's another word, Che, which means if. And so we could take this to be Che plus Ava. That makes better sense. Well, it's, there's still three words. They're just joined. So if I were to teach the Dhamma, Parecha Mena Ajaneyum, and others would not understand me, so mam asa kilamato, that would be for me, kilamato means like weariness, tired, fatiguing. Sa mam asa vihesa. That would be vihesa, troublesome, trouble for me. Okay, so putting it all together from the start of this passage too. Then, O monks, this occurred to Vipassi, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Let me now teach the Dhamma. Or maybe it's the question, should I now teach the Dhamma? Then, O monks, this occurred to Vipassi, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. This Dhamma, or this truth that I have attained, is deep, hard to see, hard to understand, peaceful, excellent, outside the range of logic, subtle, to be realized by the wise. However, this population delights in attachment, is delighted by attachment, rejoices in attachment. However, for a population that delights in attachment, that is delighted by attachment, that rejoices in attachment, this principle is difficult to see. Namely, specific conditionality, dependent origination. This principle or fact, too, is difficult to see. Namely, the stilling of all mental activities or of all conditioned things, the relinquishing of all acquisitions or objects of attachment, the destruction of craving, dispassion, cessation, nibbana. However, if I were to teach the Dhamma and others would not understand me, that would be fatiguing for me. That would be troublesome for me. Exactly the same, yeah. It's just projected back into the past.
I have a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think they're something negative. Are they adjectives?
Well, here they're nouns, actually.
They're nouns?
But I put it, maybe I put it into adjective. That would be, okay, wariness for me. That would be trouble for me.
So why isn't it a noun?
Because it's, they are the subject. That would be for me. That would be for me, okay, wearisome, weariness. Yeah, it's not the object of anything, but it's the subject of the phrase.
And also, when you change the ahamkara, I thought it would make sense, but since we have opposites, like dejayam and also ajanayam, like the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't it break down with both this and that happens? As if I have to have, I teach them and they don't understand. Otherwise, if you have changes at one thing,
yeah.
Then it seems to me that only the first clause would be a clause.
Yeah.
The second clause about people don't understand me doesn't have a change. Don't we need another change and also another cha?
Oh, I see.
And I'm saying that we don't need a che because we have...
No, I don't think we need another che. Because the cha, pare cha, seems to allow that clause to be governed by the same che.
Okay.
So if I were to teach, however, if I were to teach the Dhamma, and others would not understand me, just as in English.
So we don't need to cha? Don't we need to say something cha, something cha?
Normally that is said, but here the cha, I don't know, it's a good question.
The che va cha makes it both the equal, the two clauses are equal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's enough. So we don't have, just as in English when you say, if I were to teach the Dhamma, we don't have to say, and if others wouldn't understand me. You could just say, if I were to teach the Dhamma and others would not understand me.
So one child would be enough? Just one.
Normally one has two, but maybe here just one. Yeah.
The basic form. They have a long A for the second A. Is that a typo?
Right. Oh, that's another typographical error. Yes. Yeah, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. The second A there should be short. Alaya Ramai. But all the other A's, except for the last one, are long. They're quite difficult, I have to say. Yeah. No, it's not he or she. But kilamato is masculine. Kilamato, which means weariness or fatigue. So it needs the pronoun that goes with it is masculine. So, and vihesa, which means trouble. I don't think this is the work of monkish editors. The word meaning vihesa, which means trouble, is feminine. So it needs a feminine pronoun, sa. Why does it have the feminine pronoun? Because kilamato is masculine and vihesa is feminine. So kilamato gets the masculine pronoun. So yes, so kilamato and sa vihesa. Kilamato is more weariness, fatigue. Yeah. But to put it into idiomatic English, we can't be too literal. So we would say that would be fatiguing for me, that would be troublesome for me. But in Pali it would read, that would be weariness, or that would be fatigue for me, that would be trouble for me. Okay, I want to give you, did I give you alternative renderings for lesson 10? Yeah, I looked through. I didn't find very much that has to be changed. On page 137, at the top, manku bhava. That could also mean embarrassment or embarrassment. Then on page 139, on page 138, it seems that the section number 4 was omitted. Section number 4 should come towards the bottom, where you have a present or past participle with its appropriate objects. In front of that paragraph, you should have 4. Then on page 139, I think it should read by adding p and the e suffix to verb roots ending in a. On page 139, towards the bottom, you have number 2. By adding p and the e suffix to verb roots ending in long a, rather than stems. And for the further readings, yeah. Oh, right. I didn't catch. It should be P U double N with wiggle on top. Page 141, number 11. Katapunyo. Number 11, it's in a small type. Okay, then page 145, about one quarter of the way up. Banda Mulang. I think one should strike out one M. Page 145, about one third of the way up the page, there's a word Banda Mulang, meaning capital. I think one M should be taken out. there's a double M in the middle of the word. There should only be one M. Capital money, yeah. And that's all the only change that I made. But sometimes when we go through the actual passage and I realize that the rendering that they give is not so satisfactory. Okay, any questions? So next time we'll finish this chapter, which I thought we would finish today, and then go on to the grammar of the next chapter.